Well, good afternoon, everyone, and my apologies for the hour later than normal start to this briefing. I've had a long meeting on Brexit today with colleagues in the United Kingdom. So let's kick off this afternoon's briefing with the Health and Social Care Minister bringing us today's update on testing and cases. I know that the Minister wants to also update you on the rollout of the antibody testing and the new graph to show you your numbers. Okay, thank you, David.
Thank you, Chief Minister. The total number of tests undertaken now stands at 4,933. The total test results returned stands at 4,904, which means there are 29 test results outstanding. There are no new cases identified today, so the total positive results remains at 336, and we have one active case. Turning firstly to the graph, from this evening we will be issuing a new graphic that charts active cases, new cases and total confirmed cases from the start of the pandemic to present. It will be updated daily and will illustrate the changing face of the coronavirus outbreak here. As we move forward, we will also be able to see how we move through each phase of our Stay Safe plan. For those of you watching on social media, you should be able to see the chart on screen. The bottom line in light blue represents new cases on any given day, which is flattened right down on the bottom. The middle green line shows active cases. This peaked around mid-April and has been steadily dropping down to the one remaining active case we now have. The top line in orange represents the total cases. There is an increase in the numbers followed by a levelling off before we were ready to enter phase one of the Stay Safe plan and the initial easing of some restrictions such as on recreation and the return of construction. This chart shows just how hard you, the public, have worked at following guidelines and how quickly you acted to slow the spread of the virus. Turning now to antibody testing, which we have spoken about and has been discussed on numerous occasions, I am now delighted to be able to announce that we now have access to a verified antibody test, and we will be beginning to roll out a programme of testing to see how widespread COVID-19 has been in our community. We've been able to purchase 10,000 tests and we are starting the initial rollout with the first 5,000. So firstly, it's important to remember what antibody testing is. Unlike the swab test that people are familiar with, it does not test to tell if someone has the virus, but looks for antibodies that show that someone has previously had COVID-19. It requires a formal blood test being undertaken, and that blood sample then being checked for the COVID-19 antibodies. So what will this testing tell us? One of the things we know about COVID-19 is that it affects people differently. There are many people who show either no symptoms or very minor symptoms and may dismiss those symptoms as being something else. So antibody testing will allow us to look at how widespread COVID-19 has been throughout our wider community. It is also important to re-emphasise what antibody testing does not do. It does not mean if antibodies are found that the person is immune or can't get COVID-19 for a second time. Around the world, we are still learning about this new virus and we do not know how long any immunity lasts. So it is important to emphasise that the presence of antibodies does not imply some future immunity for those who may receive a positive antibody test result back. So how are we going to undertake the antibody testing? Our focus for these first 5,000 is to test the following groups. All hospital attendees through the emergency department who would already be having a blood test. Testing all blood test referrals both via GP and hospital outpatients, including paediatrics. Testing close contacts and high-risk contacts of confirmed COVID-19 cases. Testing blood donors, antenatal patients undergoing routine blood tests, and healthcare workers, including primary care and communities. And we will also be doing a random sample of negatively tested 111 callers. Using this initial criteria will allow us to get an appropriate mix of age, gender, geographical spread, in order to build a picture of how far the virus has spread over the last few months. It's an excellent development, and it will give us a good idea of just how widespread COVID-19 has been in our island community. Thank you, Chief Minister.
And thank you very much, David, for that update. It is great that we are able to start our antibody testing so soon. As I've said before, it is not a silver bullet. It won't change the game in the same way as a vaccine will one day, but it is an incredibly important tool for us to understand the virus on our island. As David said, we are now down to one single active case on the island. For those who religiously watch these briefings to see the latest numbers, and I know that there are quite a few of you out there, you will remember that we reported our last new confirmed case on the 20th of May. This means that if we continue with the zero cases that we have now enjoyed for 12 days, we should be able to report no active cases later this week. Now, as the Health and Social Care Minister has said a number of times, the continued zeros does not necessarily mean that there is no virus left on the island. And even no active cases later this week would not mean that. But it does tell us that the risk of catching the virus on the island is currently exceptionally low. Let's see how the week pans out. I have learned that everything to do with this pandemic can change as quickly as the Manx weather. But I do want to talk to you about that level of risk and what it means for us. Right now, if the virus is out there on our island at all, it is there in tiny numbers of people. We've had a string of zero new cases each day. This is despite us increasing the number of tests each day and widening the scope of testing beyond those who show symptoms. We have been offering tests to all our health and social care workers who want one. They can have one test every week if they wish. We have done the same for teachers, prison and police officers and a number of other key staff, and still no cases. So far, so good. We have had a robust track and trace system in place since the very start, and it is a joint team working with the COVID 111 line, and it's scalable quickly if we do need to react to new confirmed cases. So where we are now does give me cause for optimism. Before this week, it was cautious optimism. Now it is real optimism. And I hope you are also starting to share that optimism with me. The measures that we have in place have done what we needed them to do. They prevented our health and care sector from being truly overwhelmed. We will always remember the 24 people who tragically lost their lives because of the virus. But the measures we put in place surely prevented many more deaths. At previous briefings, we have talked about the wider health issues that COVID has caused our community. But we are now changing that. People were being impacted because some health services had to be suspended. As the Health and Social Care Minister told you last week, those services are coming back online. Some are already happening. People have resisted going to hospital because they were worried about catching COVID. We now don't have a single patient in the hospital with COVID. And as Jerry reminded us on Friday, if you have any health concerns, you must seek advice and support. You must not let things fester. People were isolated, and I'm glad that we have been able to allow people to see their friends and loved ones for some time now. At the moment, this is limited to 10 outside, 2 inside. But later this week, the Council of Ministers will be discussing taking this to the next stage. The low risk in the community has meant that we have been able to open up. You can get out and about, you can go shopping, you can see friends. Today, I want to spend a few minutes focusing on the people who, for a number of reasons, have been classed as clinically vulnerable or clinically extremely vulnerable. People in these groups have a higher risk of severe disease if they catch COVID. We are now ready for people who have been classed as clinically vulnerable or extremely vulnerable to make some changes. we want you to start going about your life. It might not be quite normal, but we want you to start doing things that you did before, as long as you can do so safely. Returning to physical exercise outdoors and fresh air has significant benefits for physical and mental health, benefits that significantly outweigh the current very low risk of COVID. Whether or not you wish to meet friends, family or other people in line with our rules on gatherings is for you to decide. You know your own situation. If you do, and I think this goes without saying, distance, hand hygiene and all the other measures we talk about so often remain important. I know that some of you may be worried about spending more time out of your house, and I understand that. But there is a real risk attached to staying locked down and isolated. And this now worries us more than the risk from COVID out in the community. Some people in our community have been identified as clinically extremely vulnerable and have been told to shield. These are the people who are most at risk if they catch COVID. We know that some of you may have suffered terribly during the early phases of our measures. Measures that we put into place to protect especially you. These have been tough. We really do want you to start to resuming your normal lives now. If you've been identified as clinically extremely vulnerable, we will be writing to you soon. We will be inviting you to get out if you can and get some fresh air. If you want to invite a friend to come over for a cup of tea in the garden, then please do so. Speak to your doctor or another health or care professional if you have any clinical questions once you get your letter, or call the community support line for wider support. We do want you to start feeling that life is returning to something that's a bit normal. Whether you are clinically vulnerable or clinically extremely vulnerable, we need you to make the right decisions for you. We know that even though the levels of risk in the community is now very low, some people will not be ready to go out and restart their lives. You know best what you are comfortable with. This is an opportunity for you to decide what is best for you. It is not in any way an obligation to do so. Now, I told you last week that the Council of Ministers will be taking a fresh look at social distancing. We have now agreed that if the current situation continues, we are ready to change our approach around 2 weeks from now, on or around the 15th of June. What will this mean? We want to stop social distancing being regulated for you as an individual. You know who you are comfortable being close to or inviting into your home. This needs to be your choice. We have already entrusted you to make the right decisions inside your home. We now want to extend beyond the walls of your home. You are best placed to know who you are comfortable sitting next to on the same table at a restaurant. But for the time being, there will still be a number of areas where we will have to regulate. I think you would expect us to set standards where people come together in greater numbers. We will still require businesses and companies to ensure that they provide safe environments for their staff and their customers. We need to ensure that the places where, for example, we work, learn and shop are safe. As restaurants, cafes, bars, etc. start to open again, it will also be important there. We will continue to set standards in these environments and where we judge it is in the national interest to do so. So you will be able to choose who you share your table with in a restaurant. But we will insist that the restaurant maintains a safe distance between the tables. You will decide how close you get when talking to a colleague at work. But your employer will have to ensure that desks are far enough apart that you don't have to be close to others if you do not want to. The big question will be how far will be far enough. And we've considering how others have been doing this. We have still some way to go to ensure we have the best possible guidance there for you. But I can share with you today that if our strong results continue, we are ready from the 15th of June to reset out social distancing rules to match the World Health Organization of at least 1 meter. We want to make this as straightforward as possible. We will only use 1 meter in technical guidance where we have to, But for all of us going about our business, don't worry too much about the 1 metre. Just think about it as keeping an arm's length. If you can reach out and touch someone, they are too close. You have been great at respecting other people's space. This is where we want to get to, and we will talk more about it between now and then. And please remember, this is dependent on a strong set of results from now until the 15th. Please keep doing what you have been doing so well until then. Now, over the last 2 meetings of the Council of Ministers that we have held since I last spoke to you, we have made a small number of adjustments that I hope you will agree will make a big difference. We have tidied up some areas where some inconsistencies had crept in. We have removed the restriction on you being able to share a car. We have brought it into line with the gathering rules, the 2 inside bit of 10 outside, 2 inside. So with effect from tomorrow morning, you can share a car, but for the moment with up to 2 people from another household. And we have lined these rules up so that as the gatherings rule changes, so will this. We have done the same with exercise. You can now exercise with up to 10 people outdoors. This time the 10 outside part of 10 outside, 2 inside. Again, as the rule on gatherings changes, and it may do soon, so will this. The Department of Education, Sport and Culture will issue guidance for individual sports and will work with them to bring back online as soon as protocols relating to safety are agreed. Those decisions will not have to come back to the Council of Ministers from now on. A lot of sports have already been able to resume, and we will work as quickly as possible on the others. One area that I know is important to people is around weddings and other indoor religious services. We are now ready to allow those in places of worship, registry offices and other premises to a maximum of 10 people. The 10 does not need to include the celebrant, the vicar for example, and one other person who will probably be the registrar or their representative. This is now a matter for the individual places of worship, who I know are busy planning how to make this happen safely. I also know that some have already put in place the ability for people to undertake private prayer. It does seem that I need to say at each briefing, for the avoidance of doubt, that we have no plans to open our border. Let me say it again, we have fought hard to get to the situation we have today. The time is not right to open our borders and put that at risk. I still cannot imagine unhindered travel between the United Kingdom and our island for some time to come. We do, however, want to continue to enable our people to come home. Some still remain in the United Kingdom and beyond and want to come home. The Council of Ministers has agreed to make a small but important change to the home quarantine. Given the extremely low levels here on the island and our robust contact tracing from the 10th of June, we can allow people to home quarantine with others as long as, and this is the critical point, as long as those other people also agree to quarantine with them. The repatriation by boat has been going well. The boat will remain the main way for our residents to get back, and the 2 sailings with a maximum of 50 on each will continue. But from the 11th of June, we are now ready to allow a small number of people to return by air. The procedure when they return will be the same, 14 days home quarantine. Now, before people put 2 and 2 together to make 5, it is worth me updating you on EasyJet's plans. Following their announcement that they would resume a range of flights across the British Isles, we talked to them and reminded them that our borders remained closed. They have now reviewed their plans and will be looking to resume the London Gatwick route later into the summer. Just before I take questions, I do need to correct a mistake I made last week. I said that I would be making announcements about our plan to exit emergency powers, and I said that I would do this in Tynwald on Tuesday. Tynwald this week is unusually on Friday, so it will be Friday, not Tuesday. I will now take questions, and the first I have is Rob Pritchard from 3FM. Rob.
Good afternoon, Chief Minister. Both my questions are for the Health Minister, please.
That's great. David.
Good afternoon, Rob.
Good afternoon, Minister. So my first question is, just for a bit of clarity, with regards to the antibody testing, you mentioned it would be a blood test. Is that a finger prick test or a full blood test? And also, how long do you expect it will take to complete this first phase of 5,000 tests?
So the blood, it's a proper blood test, so it's not a finger prick test. The verified test that we have access to is a proper clinical blood test. In relation to the length of time completing the 5,000, the tests are actually time limited in terms of their lifespan, so we would need to have the programme for the first 5,000 up and running and completed for the end of July, start of August.
Thank you very much. My second question, just with regards to the weekly testing programme currently involving teachers, healthcare workers and those classes vulnerable, given that hairdressers and barbers, for example, have now been given permission to reopen from today, subject to the correct measures in place, what chance is there that hairdressers and barbers could be allowed to use this system as well, given the close proximity they'll have to customers and the rest of their staff?
Well, at the moment, Rob, we are keeping it to the key essential healthcare workers, and we will look at how take-up goes on that. At the moment, take-up has been quite small, but that's not surprising because it is quite an intrusive test, the swab test. So I can quite understand why people, after they've had the experience once, wouldn't potentially want to repeat it every single week. But depending upon uptake, we can actually look at expanding it. But again, I need to emphasise the fact that that doesn't give you full comfort, because the whole thing of a PCR test is it's a point-in-time test. So it will tell you you don't potentially have the virus on that day, but that doesn't give you any comfort for the next day, the day after, or the day after that.
Thank you very much, Rob. Now we move on to Amanda Cashmore from Jeff the Mongoose. Amanda.
Good afternoon, Chief Minister. We're down to just the one active case on the island, which is wonderful news. But wondering what our plan is now. COVID-19 is still very much present in the UK and the rest of the world. The presence of antibodies does not infer immunity, and we have no assurance of a vaccine. What is the strategy for the long haul?
Well, I suppose it's monitor. We can look at certain countries who are in a similar position to us, and it may well be that Ireland is way ahead of the United Kingdom. So I think for some considerable time, we will be allowing our people back. We'll be allowing people to go out for trips that are to see loved ones who may be ill or attend funerals, essential travel. But for the time being, for the long term, until either the United Kingdom sees a significant reduction in its infection rate or a vaccine comes out, we will have a form of border control for some time. We seem to have a bad connection with Amanda.
So is the plan for us to wait for vaccine or some kind of drug that works effectively?
Well, we're going to monitor it and see what the infection rate...
Sorry, can you hear me now?
I can hear you but can't see you, but we will be waiting, obviously, to see what happens around us. Different countries are in different positions, and it may well be thinking months ahead now that if some countries are in a really good position, like ourselves, then we will be able to look at doing travel between those countries. But that's some time off yet, and we'll just have to keep on monitoring the situation. I can't give you a time at all, I'm afraid. Have we lost Amanda? I can see the others. Shall we move on and then we can come back to Amanda second? Amanda, we seem to have lost you, so we'll move on to Mr. Paul Moulton of MTTV and we can come back for your second question when I've spoken to Mr. Moulton. Yes. Paul.
No sound.
Did I hear anything?
No sound. No feed.
Do we have Amanda back? We seem to have an internet crash here.
Oh, right.
Paul, can you hear us? Hello, Paul, can you hear me?
Yes, Chief, if you've been waiting for my question, and I've obviously missed a little bit of what's going on. Can you just, by the way, confirm when you said about the EasyJet to Gatwick, what's happening to the Liverpool service with them? Was that discussed as well?
Well, they said they would be starting the London service sometime later on, and I can only presume that the Liverpool service is in the same situation.
So no flights until that time, okay. Today, the hairdressers were opened up for people to go to. Some were asking for people to wear masks and some weren't. And obviously bringing down to 1 meter soon will make things easier. But the interesting piece that I've got back here is that the actual hairdresser has been asked to take details of their customers and keep the data for 28 days. Now, obviously, there's all sorts of data protection on that. They don't know what to do with it, by the way. There's been no government sort of instructions on what they should do. And one person has contacted Ian MacDonald, the Isle of Man Information Commissioner, who states that this is, you know, clearly they weren't informed about this decision to do this. And if the barbers keep it electronically, they'll have to sign up for the old thing of having to give data requirements out. Is it a slight tweaking required, I suppose it's a question, on details on how hairdressers are meant to operate?
Right, well, the 28-day of record keeping was to enable that if there was an outbreak, and because of the close proximity, then they would be able to call all their customers to ensure that we could safely track them. I don't know, Henrietta, if you want to add anything to that.
Yes, that's exactly right, Chief Minister. It's to enable contact tracing if a case is confirmed and that case then says that during the relevant time for contact tracing, they were present in a hairdressing salon. We are using exactly the same approach with other types of venue as they open up. So, for example, sports venues, outdoor activity centres. And as we move forward, hopefully, if things remain as they are at the moment, and we start looking to open up cafes and restaurants, the same approach will apply there.
OK, I mean, I'll clarify with the Information Commissioner. I have presumed that has been done behind the scenes, but we will look into that and put advice on our website if there are any concerns regarding keeping data. But I thought the necessary legislation to allow that to happen had already been put in place. So we will have to see whether there's been a breakdown in communication between the Information Commissioner and our teams, and I'll come back on that. Right, do we have Amanda back? Amanda?
Can you hear me now?
We can indeed, yeah.
Wonderful. Sorry about that. Well, my second question was that you've announced that we can now share car journeys with another household, while the guidance also states that it's safer to maintain a 2 metre distance when indoors, although that is up to us now. Why is sharing a car with less than 2 metre between you now safe?
Well, it's down to the levels of risk, Amanda. On the island, we've deemed it, and our medics have deemed it, low enough to allow the sharing of car, but I have to state it's with one other household. It's not two separate households. It's one household up to two people, which is the same rule as if I walk into your house, it would be me and someone from my household. So we felt that the risk is low enough now to allow car sharing, but as I say, it will be for you to decide who that you share the car with, who you feel safe to share the car with. Getting to work, or we have an awful lot of elderly residents who have not, on the island, who have not been able to get out of their house because they can't drive, and family members have wanted to take them for a drive just to break the, you could say, boredom of being cooped up in the house all day long. And this is seen as helping that sector of the community. But given the low cases of the virus on the Isle of Man, it's deemed that it's safe enough now to allow that to happen. But it will be just up to two people from one household sharing that car with you.
Thank you very much.
OK, right. We now move on to Sam Turton from Isle of Man Newspapers. Sam, hope your connectivity is OK.
I think so.
That's great.
Good. Could I speak to Minister Ashford, please?
No problem. David.
Afternoon, Sam.
Afternoon. Could I just check, the antibody tests, are these the tests that the Henry Bloom Noble Trust was talking about?
They are indeed. Very kindly, the Henry Bloom Noble Trust has actually funded the antibody testing that we will be undertaking on Ireland. So they have covered the costs of them, which for which we are eternally grateful, as we always are, for their continued support in lots of different things that we do across health and social care.
Thank you. And then just in terms of that, when I missed bits and pieces, to be honest, throughout this, when is the rollout day going to start, and what is the estimated time on both a test to come back, and it's at the minute what level of accuracy are we looking at? And that's for either you or for Dr. Ewart, of course.
I'll bring Henrietta in a moment, because she'll probably be able to give you a more exact figure. I believe the accuracy in the trials for this particular test, I think, were 97%, I think, was off the top of my head, but I'm sure Henrietta will correct me if I'm miles off there. In terms of the rollout, we've had now the plans that I just laid out approved by Council of Ministers, which were approved on Saturday. So we'll be starting to get it underway, because, as I say, the tests do have a life expectancy on them. So we need to start cracking on with the first 5,000s between now and the end of July. But I'll bring Henrietta in if she wants to add anything to that.
Yes, really just to confirm what the Minister has said, these tests have been validated as being highly accurate, both in terms of sensitivity and specificity. So that means they have a chance in the high 90s of identifying the relevant antibody if it's there, but also a similar chance of not misreacting to a different antibody and giving you a false positive when actually the antibody to coronavirus isn't there. So on that basis, it's a very good test in terms of both identifying what is there and not misidentifying what isn't there. That isn't a bit too complex a way of putting it.
Thank you. And then just secondly, in terms of testing for COVID then, what obviously they'll be going on as the with through 111 referrals, but what will be the level of testing that we're looking to sustain throughout key workers as such as that progresses alongside this?
Well, our testing strategy will adapt, Sam, as it has done the whole way along. At the moment, we have opened it up to certain groups of key workers to undertake that weekly test. But I do need to emphasise again, the whole thing with swab, as most people know it, or PCR testing, is a point-in-time test. So, you know, it tells you that on the point you had the test, whether or not you have COVID-19, it doesn't give you any reassurance for the day after that, the day after that, or the day after that. So we need to be very... very careful around that, but it is there if it gives people some comfort that they want to take it up in certain front line. And as we look at the capacity we've got, because we have got the capacity of 200 tests a day available to us, then we can look to expand to other groups. But at the moment, we're sticking with those key worker groups that I laid out last week.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sam. And now, last but not least, Alex Bell from BBC. Alex.
Good evening. First question just concerns the slight relaxation of the rules today, whereby I know cafes and restaurants can open provided they have outdoor seating. I'd just like to have some clarity, please, on when does a pub that serves food become a restaurant that can open? Because I know there are several pubs with beer gardens who serve food who, under the rules, might not be able to open today.
Well, obviously, that's something we can look into, but I suppose you can call it al fresco dining. If you are able to serve food outside in a restaurant, then that can come online. We're not ready yet to allow it indoors, though that's something that we're working on behind the scenes. And who knows, in a couple of weeks' time, you will be allowed to go inside as long as the cases that we see, or the lack of cases, continues. But restaurants are allowed to serve food from outside as of now, but I can look into the whether there's a difference from pubs who have the beer gardens outside to be able to serve. I suppose it would depend on their registration license, and that's something, if you've got an individual case, we can look into it, or I'm happy to give an update at the next briefing on that specific area, Alex.
Thank you, that would be helpful. And a second question, I suppose, is probably more for the Health Minister, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Alex.
Evening, David. Just as the island now has, I suppose, excess testing capacity would it be something that's being considered to, given the change in the rules for people who are returning to the island, to be able to self-isolate in a household with others, would it make sense to begin using this excess testing capacity to test all returnees at the border?
Well, as I think I've said before, Alex, it wouldn't actually necessarily tell us anything. You've got to remember that when we do PCR or swab testing, even if the test comes back negative, people still have to self-isolate for the 14 days. And the reason that is there is always the risk of false negatives coming back. That the test, if it's done, we know in the very, very early stages of someone being asymptomatic, then basically it won't necessarily return a result that says, yes, you do have COVID-19, even although you are carrying it. So it wouldn't actually change anything for the returning residents, because even if they were tested coming in and they were found negative, they would still, under the rules, have to self-isolate for 14 days anyway.
So to be clear, there are no plans to enforce mandatory testing at the border?
No, not at this time. There is not at all.
Thank you.
Well, thank you all very much. But there's one thing I've learned, Alex, you can never say never in this job, and certainly not when you're fighting coronavirus. But obviously, whatever, we're always reviewing the situation. So thank you all very much. On this, the first day of the National Volunteers Week, it is only fitting to send a shout out to all those volunteers across the island who week in, week out, give up their time to help and support others or to improve the quality of life of another. Around 7,000 of you, in fact, giving an average 100 hours a year, and that's truly amazing. To those who have gone that extra mile during COVID-19, too many to mention individually and to give a shout out, we may not know who you are or all that you have done, but we know so many of you have helped to keep our community safe and knitted tightly together during this crisis. Thank you. So time to wrap up, but before I do, I would like to tell you about the video that we will be running at the end of this briefing. During the lockdown, the Isle of Man Arts Council launched the Home is Where the Art Is project to keep culture alive and boost well-being during the period of self-isolation. The project, which has reached 55,000 people, concluded on Sunday with the release of a special performance, one of the island's most treasured songs, Ellen Vannon, sung by a digital choir of Manx school children. The choir was the idea of Ballacottia teacher Katie Lawrence, who produced this film with the support of Glenn Worrell, David Rowles and the Isle of Man Arts Council. I hope you enjoy. I certainly did. Thank you. Let's keep up the amazing work. I will be back with you on Thursday with a readout from the Council of Ministers, and hopefully our Wi-Fi won't be crashing then. Please keep safe and keep your loved ones safe. Remember the basics, keep your distance, respect other people's space. The future is in your hands. Thank you all very much.